Thank you very much. And as we're overrunning, let's have a very quick round to start with. This is a round called Words of One Song to the Tune of Another. Accompaniment provided by Dave Lee. Graham and Barry.
No.
If you start, there are your words. I want you to sing the words of Leaning on a Lamppost to the tune of Maria. All ready? Dave Lee, introduction.
Leaning on a lamppost at the corner of the street, in case the family is to be
anybody know the words in the audience? Join in, please.
Corner of the street, we're finished. We're finished. And now the lady comes by.
That should be enough for this show now, shouldn't it? We can go home.
You've been listening to West Side Story. Now then, where are we? Yes, Bill and Tim. Your words here, the words of long-haired lover from Liverpool. To the tune of 16 tons.
I'll be a long-haired lover from Liverpool. I'll do anything you say. I'll be a clown or your puppet or your April Fool. If you meet my summer daisy from L.A., I'll be your leprechaun and sit upon an old tutu serenade. You'll die cold and gray. I'll be a long-haired lover from a Liverpool.
Very good. I score that 5 to Bill and Tim, and Barry and Graham, you have 4. And this is where I introduce
Very good.
At the end of the program, in order to give the teams time to think of silly names, for people arriving at the archaeologist ball.
What?
The archaeologist ball.
Get some old jokes.
Right.
Could we get a new audience, please?
Right.
Very good.
The next round is...
Don't
the
volunteer.
Called... What's in a word? That's another mark off Bill for interrupting the show.
Can I have a mark for not interrupting?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Rubbish! Now, that levels up the score. I'm going to give each of you a word culled from the Oxford English Dictionary. These are actually real words, and I want you to define them. I'm going to give you each a word. Tim Brooke-Taylor, you're the first one. Your word is whisht.
Ah, whisht is a card game played by people who are pished.
Yes, the dictionary doesn't actually put it in as many words, but the dictionary definition is an utterance of quished to enjoin silence. But it's roughly what he said.
Yeah.
Barry Clark,
mm-hmm.
Your word is nettlecock.
Wished, Barry, wished.
Well, what a time to talk shop. Nettlecock is, of course, a reference to nestle meaning chocolate, and cock being an abbreviation of ball cock, meaning part of a plumber's trade, therefore meaning a plumber eating chocolate while working Therefore, not keeping his mind on his work, like David Frost getting off a plane half an hour before doing a television program.
bitter.
Chock. A blocked pipe. A blockage. Nettle cock. A blockage. Back to Robert Robinson.
Reading my booklet from the BBC, I see that I have to dock you one mark for advertising, so put your total score down to four again, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Otherwise, it was excellent. It does, in fact, mean a spoilt or delicate child.
Oh, warm.
And
warm.
Bill, your word now?
Yes,
perfumed.
Yes, perfumed. Well, this, you pronounce it wrongly, of course. Of course. Should have been pronounced table. I know what a table is. Anyway. No, Perseant, yes. It shouldn't really be in the dictionary. You won't find it in the dictionary. It is, in fact, a proper name. And is, in fact, an early arrival for the insect ball. Mr. and Mrs. Ant and their little son, Percy Ant.
Oh.
And 5 marks.
Rubber. 1 mark. But the actual definition is keen or piercing.
Yes, right.
Which is, I prefer,
yes.
In fact, preferred yours. Graham Garden, your word? Opsimath. Opsimath.
How do you spell that? Op? S-I?
O-P-S-I-M-A-T-H.
Opsimath.
You've got to get 4 marks for this because your team's 4 marks behind.
All right, and here we go for 4 marks. Opsimath is a slang term. Those of you who've seen the film The Godfather will no doubt know about the Italian gangs operating in America. There were some operating in the East End of London at one point in the early part of the century, in the 20s. Sure. And this word was much used by them, as in the phrase, "You want? I should give you a punch up the mouth."
Yes. Yes, 4 marks.
Thank you.
And in fact, the dictionary definition is one who begins to learn late in life.
Exactly. And didn't they just?
The next round is a new one. This is one called All Keyed Up, and it brings Dave Lee in again in a starring role. In this round, one team sings the first part of a song, and then Dave Lee raises the key, and the other team sings the next part in the higher key, and then the key's raised again.
Oh,
and so.
No. Oh, no.
And you see who cracks my trousers.
Yes,
now then, the first song is going to be started by Tim Brooke Taylor and Bill Oddie, and it's I'm Henry the Eighth I Am. Introduction, please, Dave Lee. Do you want the word?
How fast are we doing it?
I'm Henry the Eighth I Am. Henry the Eighth I Am, I Am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before. Everyone want a Henry. She wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam. Henry, no birthday, Henry. I'm Henry the Eighth I Am.
Now look here.
The score stands at 12 marks each. I finished that one because I couldn't stand it any longer. Now we have a round called Make a Noise. In this round I want each of you to make a noise. Barry Cryer. Yes, one. Timbrook Taylor.
Bush Mutt.
Victory!
Oh, no. Yes.
You have to finish it.
No
PS's. One more. Graham Garden.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes, that's what I got here.
Bill Oddie.
I won't ask you to repeat that one. Yes.
It was
good. Right. We go on to the next round now, which is called commentary. And in this round, each team has to improvise a commentary of an event which I shall give them. And the audience, once again, will be brought in to decide who wins this round by the sheer volume and enthusiasm of your applause.
Don't go.
Starting with Jim Brooke Taylor and Bill Oddie.
Good.
And we'd like you to give a commentary on erecting a deck chair. Erecting a deck chair. Right. Tim and Bill.
Yes, and they're coming out now. He's just trying to get the deck chair up. It looks as though he's just marking out a place to put it up. And slowly he's putting it up. Yes, he's got it up there.
Handed a piece of paper here. That's a pound to the slowest anybody's ever put up a deck chair.
You'll find that's exactly true. I think somebody put one up a great deal slower in Morecambe last year. And
that's right.
August,
that's right. That's absolutely right. Just a pack of laughs to keep the thing going.
Isn't it all? Oh, yes. Well, he looks as though he's getting it up now. And he looks.
I think it's up. Yes. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but some people over in Australia say that putting up deck chairs is getting boring now. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't really think so. I think it's a great deal more exciting than cricket, for a start.
Thank you, Tim and Bill, for putting up a deck chair. Now, Barry and Graham, you ready for your commentary? Your subject is making a double bed. Making a double bed.
Easy.
Will you set the scene for us, please, starting right away?
And it's the oversheet coming up there, right across the undersheet. The oversheet has gone in. It's the eiderdown. The eiderdown. This is a surprise here. A surprise.
Surprise. We did very well at Newmarket last year. Surprise.
Yes. What a surprise fee. A surprise, ladies and gentlemen. The eiderdown has gone over on top. Eiderdown over on top. Eiderdown 3-1 against. This is going to be one for the bookies. The eiderdown is going there. The eiderdown is going there. The eiderdown is on top. Coming round. Coming round. The eiderdown. The eiderdown. Gone in. The eiderdown. On the bend. The eiderdown. Over to you, John.
And the eiderdown is down. The eiderdown is down. That's that last fence there. You didn't quite see it, but the lady making the bed tripped over the fence and dropped the eiderdown over the other side. Now they've got the blanket coming up on the inside there. So running, doing very well, doing very well, getting tucked in.
And it's pillow, it's pillow.
Yes, you win on the audience applause, Barry and Graham, making you 4-2, Tim and Bill 2. Now we go on to the next round, which is called McDonald's Funny Farm. And in this round, one team sings Oh, McDonald's Farm. You know this one. Those of you listening at home will know this one of old. We've done it before. And we're going to do it again. One team sings Oh, McDonald's Farm, accompanied by Dave Lee, and the other team makes suitable noises for what's on the farm, and vice versa. Now, we'll start with Graham and Barry. Will you sing Old MacDonald's Farm? And Bill and Tim, will you make the required noises? Introduction from Dave Lee.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a duckling sheep, E-I-E-I-O. With a here and a there, and a there. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had an effeminate rooster, E-I-E-I-O. With a
Oh, my, where that web, huh?
Here up. There up. Everywhere up. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a cross between a duck and a bee. E-I-E-I-O. With a here and a there, here a there a everywhere a with a
oh, cock a bloody noodle.
Cock a there.
Oh dear, I'm fed up with it. Cock a noodle.
There, cock a noodle. Everywhere. And up.
Right, well, now it's the turn of Bill and Tim to sing the song and Graham and Barry to make the noises. Competition, the scores are as follows. Tim and Bill, 21, and Barry and Graham, 22. We come now to ad-lib poem, in which each member of the team is going to, or the members of each team are going to make up a poem. Each team member must keep going until I press the buzzer, and then a member of the opposing team must take over. And this goes on until we've reached the natural artistic conclusion of the poem, or until I can't stand it anymore. The first line of the poem coming up now, and this one, Bill, I'm going to ask you to start. And this is your first line. I'll give it to you as near as possible. It's in dialect. E ba gum lad, da looks grim. Is trouble at the mill?
E ba gum lad, da looks grim. Is trouble down at the mill? I've gone and dropped me elephant. And it's sitting out there still. Not moving, you do understand, but still.
But sitting very still. And furthermore, it's sitting under my pneumatic drill. Now, elephants, as you may know, come very large and wide. And you can see another one upon the other side. Now, these two elephants, whose names are Alistair and Fred, have been my pets for many years. I wish that I were dead.
He wishes he were dead, he says. Because he knows quite well that elephants, when they drink milk,
do up and swell. There is a saying around these parts, and I'm agreed with it.
Careful, Barry, careful.
That's a rare good saying. And I think it's quite neat. I've often heard it said, you know, that elephants do swell. But when you come to think on it, I'm sure the village bell has more to clang and clong to us than any an elephant diatribe. You know, when you sit down and think of it, I'm sure 'tis but a jibe that elephants do swell. Now, nay.
Now, nay, said Jack, and jumping up, he said, you'll all rejoice, because I think at this moment we should drop this silly voice and get right back to normal voices. And the poem. So, I'm going to read another line. And this is the way it'll go. There was a lad who lived in France upon a lonely hill.
His name was Jacques. Surprise, surprise. His wife's name was Jill. Hey, by gum, it's me again. We'll have no truck with France. They walk around in little shirts and tiny little pants. I was just saying, said the froggy, in a funny voice. Oh, yes. I am very fond of reading, but I do not have the choice. I'd like to be so English, I would like to cross the Channel. And then I think to myself,
oh no! Oh, I can't need a funnel. I don't know what that means. He said, the centre, I do mean, who walked into the village where before he once had been many years ago when they were doing
very many things. But hark, do you hear it?
Yes, I do.
The village church bell ring.
Oh.
And who can be a-ringing it?
It is the three kings.
'Tis strange they should come to our village, he said.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, naughty things. It is the verger who tolls the bell this morning. It is the verger, I tell you, as sure as I'm
born. Oh, that was clever.
I did say, as I ran back to home, and vowed that I never would
embark on such a silly poem.
Well, I'm going to give the marks there to Barry and to Graham especially for winding up the program. No, that's a very interesting score now, 35 each. And we come to the last round, in which, of course, the scores come thick and fast, because this is the point in the programme where the teams give their announcements for the arrivals at the archaeologist's ball.
Mr. and Mrs. Remain, and their religiously inclined son, Priest Oric Remain, followed closely,
and more or less the
rattle
right
of bone.
Mr. and Mrs. Dactyl, and there's some Terry and his pal E.O. Lithic
Age. From Africa, will you welcome Mrs. Uncarmen and their ballet dancing daughter, Tutu Uncarmen?
And her mummy.
Follow closely.
Who is well enough to receive visitors.
Follow closely by Mr. and Mrs. Civilization with Kenneth... No!
Oh!
Mr. and Mrs. Isation with Kenneth Clark and their daughter, Sibyl Isation with Kenneth Clark.
Mr. Chaldees and his wife, you know, her and the Chaldees.
No, that's wrong.
We're from up north, Mr. and Mrs. Swall and their son, Adrian Swall.
And a Roman friend.
Oh, yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Ake Floor.
and their old man music.
Oh. Mr. and Mrs. Arthur, and their
speak it.
They're laughing, son John. Laughing, Jack. Us. We need an anti-climax to the time, I think.
He's not archaeological. Get him out.
He is now, you know.
Followed by
Mr. and Mrs. Sir Greek Urn and their son Watt.
Who is rapidly followed by
very fast.
Gerald Ponsonby, butler to several medieval monarchs, who in his time became known as the Valet of the King. and of course, yet another visitor to the archaeological ball, Sutton.
Sutton who?
That's right.
At which point?
And one we've all been expecting, I'm sure. Mr. and Mrs. Saw and their daughter, Dinah.
Not forgetting Mr. and Mrs. Thesaurus and their daughter, Eleanor Braun.
Thesaurus. Marth and their mother, affectionately known as Marmot.
And while we're on the subject, Mr. and Mrs. Kant and their daughter, Celia. I beg your
Which
pardon.
Point?
Treat a lady like that.
With a dramatic and popular win by...
Here is a motoring report.
Timbrook Taylor and Bill Oddie, that brings us up to the end of this week's program. We shall be back next week with very much of the same theme.